Shalom, everyone. My name is Son of Yisrael Adoni Oakens Hawkins, and I'd like to serve as a priest now very soon. It's now time to find the seats for Sabbath services.
Can I have your attention, please? Can I have your attention, please? Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Israel Benjamin Alexander Hawkins, and I'd like to serve forever as a priest on very soon. It's a privilege and an honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Israel that are now here for services. And now I'd like to turn it over to Sonny Israel Yahab Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. You can be seated. The title of my speech is Yahweh's Covenant. Yahweh has a covenant with his people that if we keep his law, that we can make it into his kingdom. In the Lost Faith of Apostles and Prophets book, page 178, it says, "Unless we learn to live by Yahweh's every word, unless we submit and let Yahweh teach us how to love with him with all our hearts, and how to love our brothers as ourselves, submitting to even the least of Yahweh's law of the faith, we will be lukewarms and Laodiceans." The lost faith of apostles has been reestablished in these last days according to prophecy. This group is now called the same name they were thousands of years ago, the house of Yahweh. Pastor told us yesterday in Deuteronomy 30, verse 15 through 19, "Life by righteousness, keeping Yahweh's laws, or death by destruction," which is curses. We are called to Yahweh's house to learn. For your notes, please write down Deuteronomy 12:5, Isaiah 2, verse 2 through 4, Deuteronomy 17:9 through 13, and Micaiah 4:1 through 3. We will preach the kingdom of Yahweh, the covenant of Yahweh, the covenant of the house of Yahweh. If we learn what to teach, we can teach what we've learned from the seventh Malak. Please turn to Exodus 34, verse 10, found on page 74. And it says, "I am making a covenant with you in front of all your people. I will do marvels such as never been done on the earth, nor in any nation. And your people among you are to seek the work of Yahweh. For it is an awesome thing that I will do for you." So we see that Yahweh made a covenant, and he said he will do marvels such as never been done on the earth. This last day's work is the greatest work ever seen, and we can be a part of it. Yahweh gave us the fourth commandment, keep the Sabbath. This is required so we will have the knowledge to teach what is right, and people will know the right and proper way to conduct themselves in the house of Yahweh. In the book of Yahweh, please turn to page 934, 1 Timaiah 3, verse 15. "But if I am delayed, I also write that you can know the right and proper way to conduct yourself in the house of Yahweh, who are the called out ones of the living Father, the pillar and the ground of the truth." Yahweh made a covenant with Moshe about the Sabbath. Please turn to Genesis 26, verse 3 through 5, found on page 20. And it says, "Stay in this land, and I will be with you, bless you, for to you and your seed I will give all these lands, and I will confirm the oath I vowed to Abraham your father, and I will make your seed multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to you all these lands, and in your seed all these nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." Here we see Yahweh making a covenant with Abraham. Yahweh tells us that you will be blessed because you obey my commandments and laws. In the ninth book of Israel, part 1, chapter 18, verses 85, "I have called you in righteousness. I will hold your right hand. I will hold your right hand. I will keep you as a covenant to all the people, as a light to the Gentiles' nations." This is our pastor. He is the light to this world, being led by a high priest, Yeshua. Please write down for your notes Isaiah 49, verse 6. Please turn to Zechariah 6, verse 11 through 13, found on page 719. And it says, "Take the silver and gold and make it crown, and set upon the head of Yeshua, son of Yazadek, the high priest. Speak to him and say, 'This is what Yahweh of hosts says: Behold, the man whose name is the branch, for he will branch out from his place, and he will build the house of Yahweh. Yes, he will build the house of Yahweh. He will bear glory. He will sit upon his throne, and the council of peace will be between them both.'" I encourage you to teach Yahweh's covenant to all the world as you learn from Yahweh's seventh Malach. So with that, if you all please stand, I'll turn it over to Sunday's Label for prayer.
And now I'd like to introduce to you the next speaker, the great Khan Kifa Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Shalom, everyone. Praise Yahweh. Please be seated. I haven't heard that much honking since I lived in Los Angeles and tried to drive on the freeway. Praise Yahweh. Yahweh's peace be with each and every one of you. I know this is a little bit odd speaking to an empty sanctuary, but I know you're out there listening. If you'd turn with me to Exodus chapter 12 on page 54, the title of my speech today is "Eat It in Haste." Eat it in haste. There's a lesson here about Yahweh's feast, and in particular this feast of Passover and unleavened bread that we all need to get, and we need to get it quickly. In Exodus 12, if you look at verse 11, he says, "And in this way," now remember the whole atmosphere that's going on when you read the scriptures, that there's more to it than just, you know, what you're reading in this one sentence. You have to put yourself in this predicament where this is the end of the plagues, and they're getting ready to go out of Egypt. And he's saying to them, in this way you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist. Now you can see this is at the beginning of the feast where the belt still fits around the waist. and your sandals on your feet and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It's Yahweh's Passover. Now the word haste means excessive speed or urgency or of moment or action. In other words, it just means to hurry. You know, and this is the message. This is the very message that we've heard from the beginning here in the house of Yahweh, is to hurry and work. Hurry and work, right? Well, it's not only to hurry to do the physical work, even though it does cover that too. You know, we could have never built all these things and be where we're at if there was no sense of urgency to the work that we did here. But we've been doing that. We need to continue to do that. But it's also talking about something that's just as, if not more important. If you turn to Psalms 119, I'll give you a page number when I get it. Psalms 119 and verse, we'll start in 59 on page 484. It says, "We considered our ways and retraced our steps to obey your testimonies." You know, that in itself is something that needs to be done quickly, very quickly. "We hasten and did not delay to observe your laws." You know, this has to be the very first thing. Like we've been taught, our great high priest gave us that instruction to seek you first. That's the very first and most important thing that we can do, is to seek first this kingdom and his righteousness. Now, not to just know what that righteousness is, but to actually do that righteousness. And then look in verse 61. He says, the bands of the wicked have surrounded us, but we have not forgotten your law. And that's exactly the predicament we find ourselves in today. That all these things that are befalling the people of this earth, all that their evil plots against us, that they never stop. That's all around us, but we're not going to ever let that change the fact that we're going to keep Yahweh's laws, no matter what. And that's what we're showing to Yahweh through this observation. Now, if you look in Yaakov, right before the book of Kefa there, Yaakov and 1. Yaakov 1, and then look at verse 9. Verse 19. It says, therefore, my beloved brothers, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So just like, you know, it says in Ecclesiastes 5 that when we come to the house of Yahweh, we come to listen. You know, and that's something that's always bothered me when I see somebody speaking on this stage and I see people carrying on their own conversations and stuff. It's something that's always bothered me, because we say a lot more with our actions than we do with our mouth. You know, you could say, oh yeah, I believe this or I do that. But with your actions, you're actually showing what's true and what's not. And that's why, you know, we can't be hypocrites in the house of Yahweh. That's why Yahweh's training us to, you know, put away these things. But when you come to the house of Yahweh, you need to pay the most careful attention to every speaker that comes across the podium. And it doesn't matter which podium. You know, you need to pay attention to these things as if your life depended on it. Because guess what? Your life depends on it. And not only, you know, your life, you need to be ready to act as if the instructions that you receive can save the lives of others. Because the instructions that you receive here can save the lives of others. You know, and will. That's what we're here for. You know, we're not here just to escape danger. We're here to do a work to turn a large number of people, larger than what we just read there with Moshe's work, you know. So it's important that we get this, and we get the sense of urgency in this. You know, procrastination is something that I've always, you know, tried to be on guard of, because I see the results in it, you know. If you start thinking you got a little extra time, you will quickly realize that you're out of time. You know, if you have a project to complete and you think, well, I got all day to finish this project, so I'll just do this before I get started or that. Next thing you know, you don't complete that project because you wasted time in procrastination. This is the same with our overcoming. This is, you know, when we hear things, we need to be quick to obey, quick to get this work done, and quick to listen to the warning that comes forth from the house of Yahweh. If you turn to Deuteronomy 24, and, you know, this is something that we always have to keep in mind here. Deuteronomy 24 and verse 8 on page 166. He says, be very careful during an outbreak of leprosy or infectious skin disease that you diligently observe and do exactly as the priests who are the Levites teach and instruct you. You must follow carefully what I have commanded them. Now, you may not agree with certain things. You may not see it that way. But guess what? Yahweh doesn't say, come argue with the priests and the people of his house who are trying very diligently to get this point across. You know, I understand how things can look a little, overblown to individuals. You know, even, you know, when I try to look at things logically like that, I think, well, you know, why? It doesn't matter why. Just do. We can find out why later. you understand? This is urgent. And we need to be in unity. And the only way that we are in unity is if we all follow these instructions together. All right? That's what a family does. A family doesn't, you know, argue over every little thing that the parents say. You know, children, you got to get that. You listen to your parents. You know, listen to your parents. They're telling you to do things for your own benefit. And if you do that, you'll be blessed. But we can't, you know, like in this Deuteronomy 24 and verse 8, you see a very clear example of what took place in this world. You can't wait until the disease is out to start trying to prevent it. It's too late. You know, it's the cat's out of the bag. It's everywhere. And then all of a sudden people are rushing to try to get masks. Well, there is no masks. What about the toilet paper? What about this? We've been warned so far in advance, you know, this mark of the beast that I can see clearly. I'm not going to get time to go into some of the things that are written in here about this very time period. You know, this was written 40 plus years ago, you know, and we've had this at our disposal to get ready. So we're without an excuse there. We've been warned plenty in advance. But this world, you know, ought to give us something that we can look at. This feast is a very unique feast. It's a very special feast, and it's given us all a little wake up call that how quickly things change in the world. How quickly a city becomes, you know, on lockdown, where rules change, where things are not available. Yes, the food supply is strong. We just can't get it. All those types of things. So I wanted to bring this message to get it in into our heads that when the warning goes out, we need to be ready to react. You know, we need to do it in haste and not give a second thought. You know, our overseer, our great wise overseer just said yesterday, you know, that Yahweh will make a way for us to get here. And he said he was going to do it before the Feast of Tabernacles, right? Don't think that you have until the Feast of Tabernacles. Get to work on that right away, right away. You know, don't procrastinate and wait till the last second to think that it's going to work out well for you. It's not. You know, it's something that we have to take seriously with the utmost of importance, because these are very dangerous times that we're living in. And, you know, it's totally unnecessary that anybody in the house of Yahweh that's listening to this message doesn't receive the protection that Yahweh is offering. You know, only we can separate ourselves from that protection. And going towards that, remember what's written there in Colossians 2 on page 926. You know, therefore let no man condemn you for doing these things, for eating and drinking in observance of a feast day or a new moon or a Sabbath day, which are a shadow from things to come. This very thing that we're doing here is our protection. Observing Yahweh's feasts, his Sabbaths, his new moons, this is our protection. We need to hold on to it like it's an irreplaceable treasure that we just are not willing to part with under any circumstance, you know. But the accuracy of these scriptures is just I sit in awe of this, because I know some people still maybe don't believe what's going on. I don't know how a person can see this and not believe it. But, you know, in Revelation 16, found on page 981, right? I know we've gone over this. This is you really need to get that Mark of the Beast and read it so that you can understand. If you don't understand this, you know, it's just because you haven't read it. Because it's perfectly crystal clear what is taking place. You know, even the time period, if you looked back to Revelation 9, when we hear of the first woe, notice what we have written in the book of Yahweh, that seventh seal, that it's at the on page 976. This first woe is at the last half of the great tribulation. That was already written there for you. Now, we already told you that the last 3.5 years have begun. And lo and behold, this coronavirus, which is named, it gives you the location, the description, how long it'll last. All these details and more given in these prophecies. Like I said, I don't understand how a person can look at this and not, not believe what's upon you right now. So, you know, in doing so, keep reading, because you're going to see the urgency is going to get more and more. We're going to go through the worst time of trouble ever to ever fall on mankind. You read history, you see a lot of terrible things that have befallen mankind. This is going to outdo it, you know, but, it says in the, back to Revelation 16:2, it says, and the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and there became a noisome and grievous sore upon the men who had the mark of the beast. Now, if you didn't understand what that mark of the beast was, you really need to get the book, this book. All the pages are falling out of mine. I think it's about 23 years old, but it's still more relevant today than it was. You know, are just as relevant as when it was first printed, you know, because he actually gives details about this beast. Remember what Pastor's been explaining so far, you know, back to Daniel and all that. But there's two beasts there that's mentioned in Revelation, you know, and I've been watching this thing take place and watching where this virus is most abundant on the face of the earth, you know. And if you look at the seat of the first beast and then the second beast, you will see the largest groupings of this virus. Now, it's not just upon the beast. Remember that. The whole world follows after the beast. But, you know, as this was taking place, I was thinking about this because Pastor actually gives you know, the number here in this mark of the beast, you know, in several different spots, he talks about mark of beast equals 666, which you see that number given also here in Revelation, that he talks about that crown that the Pope puts on during, coronation is what they call it. Now, it hasn't been officially worn since Pope Paul the VI, I believe it was. But, you know, that big egg-looking thing that they put on their head for the coronation. And there's different ones made for different popes. But that insignia on there also added to 666. The word Latinos in Greek that was given there in the Mark of the Beast, when you're talking about the Roman Catholic Church, you often see that the Latin refers to the Western Roman Catholic Church. So you'll see different divisions broken up into those categories. But as I was watching this unfold on the news, I remember watching in particular, there was a particular region in Italy that seemed to really get hit hard, and I kept wondering about that. And I don't know if you could see that. This is the Lombardy region in Italy, and this had the most severe outbreaks of the coronavirus over there. But notice the capital, Milan. It's a global hub of fashion, finance, kind of like what you might see there in the the 666 that we saw in this book, The Mark of the Beast, talking about New York. In addition to that, Milan's archdiocese is the largest in Europe. And it has one of the, it has the most priests in the world right there at the headquarters. You might also recognize Milan from the Edict of Milan that was given by Constantine. You might also recognize that number showing the Edict of Milan, or the capital, Milan. You know, Yahweh's pointed all these things out to us, you know, beforehand. And of course, there's actually a lot more. When you look at Europe, in particular, this is the remnants of the old Roman Empire. And, you know, it carries with it that mark in many of these different spots. You know, Spain was just getting hit very hard itself. There's Madrid is the capital of Spain. Deutschland, that's I took 4 years of German in high school to learn that word. That means Germany. you know, this is also, you know, it's a system. And I got to wrap this up real quick. But I wanted to just show how Yahweh has put this mark on it all in advance. And it's very clearly identified, you know, to where we have no doubt that what's taking place is real. It's what's been prophesied, you know, but it's up to us to act upon it. So come to the house of Yahweh. Be ready to listen, be quick to repent, quick to obey, quick to overcome, hurry, work, and very soon we shall see this plan fully come to pass, and we will rejoice for the actions that we take right now today. So if you all please stand or honk your horns for the next great priest, the great Kohan, Ilya Hawkins.
Shalom, sons and daughters of Israel Abel. Please be seated or get comfortable. It's a great honor to address you, the great called out ones of the house of Yahweh. We're going to continue right on the short tail of the great priest. We're going to look at, and this will be the title, we're going to look at it. This is the last days, the last plagues. We are at the end. We're going to go to Second Keeper, if you would. Second Keeper, chapter 3 is where we're going to start. And we're going to begin on verse 10. It's on page 963. If you can turn there in your vehicles. I know it's tough. For those of you around the world, it's an honor to address you as well, because we are well aware of the struggles and the strength that it takes to be a man and a daughter of Yahweh. Continue. In 2 Keeper 3, verse 10, it says, "But the day of Yahweh will come as a thief in the night. Just like this coronavirus has came upon the world as a thief in the night." Now, we're blessed in the house of Yahweh, because Israel Hawkins already had us practicing everything we needed to be doing in order to avoid the effects of this coronavirus. That's the great wisdom of Yahweh that is in him. And it's already been passed to us. And we've been practicing it for quite some time. But the day of Yahweh, the world knows nothing about. We know the prophecies, just like we know how to prepare for the coronavirus, so we also know about these last days. So this day of Yahweh will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. And both the earth, this beautiful heavens and earth, and the works there that are in it will be burned up. And since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be? in holy conduct and righteousness. Look up at verse 9. Yahweh is not slack concerning his promise. He's not slack concerning his prophecies, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. So he's making sure with intricate detail that everything takes place according to his will. And he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come, to repentance. Look over to 2 Timaeus chapter 3. It's on page 938. We're going to do chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Look at the subtitle, In the Last Days. Notice also that in the last days, perilous, dangerous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, selfish, not servants. They're going to be selfish. We're practicing servitude. We're practicing loving our neighbor as ourself. But men will be lovers of themselves. They'll be covetous, boasters, proud. You know, Yahweh says that a proud look is one of those things he hates. That it's abominable. It's an abomination. Because that proud attitude, maybe improper dress code, maybe improper haircut, anything that breaks the rules of the house of Yahweh is abominable because someone else can see it and want to follow it. And then it spreads. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents, to authorities, unthankful and unholy. And as we read these, think of this character now being throughout all the people in the earth without natural affection, right? Throwing the newborn infants into trash cans. Many times aborting them before they're ever born, obviously. Without natural affection, telling your children, I never wanted you anyway. This is what the world is filled with. False accusers, without self-control and brutal. Without self-control and brutal. When I was preparing this, it made me think of this article that I had recently saw. And it just mentions, I know you're in the vehicles, might not be able to see them. When I think of brutal, without self-control. Well, this Arkansas mom and daughter are murdered, this article says, by the same man 23 years apart. And then you can see the confusion in this man. Then the killer drowns himself afterwards. And it says this man's name here, who was 39 years old. He returned to Horseshoe Lake to kill this woman 23 years after murdering her mother and cousin. And I know, all you do is watch the news, and you'll see plenty of examples of people without self-control, people that are brutal. It's every day now. You can see this on the news. Despisers of those who are righteous. Traitors, betrayers, headstrong, arrogant, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of Yahweh. Now, the point I want to get in your beautiful minds is that this is the pool of people. This is the character of people that this wonderful man, Israel Hawkins, is slowly pulling one rib out of the mouth of a lion at a time to Yahweh's house. But he's got to work through all this in this time period. This is the mindset of the people. You think of the prophet Elijah. the 450 prophets of Baal. That in itself seems very intimidating. You think of Israel Hawkins and the 4,199 religions that he's up against. And that too is very, or at least can be, very intimidating. So I thought to ask Google, right, to Google it, you know, about churches. Because, you know, every church is also led by a prophet of Baal. And most churches have more than one preacher there in one form or another. So I asked Google how many churches there were, and the answer came back. It says that there are 30. I don't think you can see that, can you? Yeah, let me expand that. I want this number in your mind. There are 37 million churches in the world. 37 million. And it goes into more about different denominations. So we're talking about, even if it's only one preacher, 37 million prophets of Baal. That this man is building the kingdom of Yahweh through these perilous times with. It just makes me think of to be more appreciative of Israel Hawkins and the great work that he's doing. I know we all are, but amazing. Because he's doing it. How did it get this way that men's character got to be so defiled? How did it get that way? Simply put, man went the way of Cain. That's what he's done. He's taken on this rebellious character. And what he's done is he's corrupted himself through rebellious acts. And Yahweh shows this back in Genesis. If you'll turn to page 5 in your books of Yahweh, I know all Yahweh's sons and daughters know this very well. Chapter 6, verse 5. It says, then Yahweh saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. And that is exactly how it is in this time period. How did it get that way? Look back at verse 1. Because, I mean, man wasn't created that way. It says in verse 1, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the earth that they brought forth those who worship gods. Now, of course, to set the stage here, the first righteous priest was killed. So Yahweh knew that this was going to take place. And that's why he was actually pleased when he saw his plan coming to pass. But notice verse 2, all these followed the gods. Those who worship gods saw that this was very pleasing. So they took for themselves rebels from everywhere they chose to go. Much like how the Roman army built its army. It just kept adding and adding to these people that were rebellious against the laws of Yahweh. They did not want to practice the law, and then they just brought them right on into their fold. And Yahweh said in verse 3, the men of this world will never subject themselves to my instructions, not without the righteous teacher. For they are indeed carnally minded, and thus their days and so forth the number. So now, man's mind being so defiled and so corrupt has poisoned the earth. In so many ways, we're learning how even they poison the earth with their wars, with the blood that they've shed, which is also something that Yahweh hates. And it got to the point where the earth has already vomited man up, flooded the earth, vomited him out. It's so important to make sure we follow Yahweh's way. If you would, turn over to Proverbs chapter 4. I better get there. It's on page 498. We'll start at verse 10. Yahweh makes this very clear. Hear, my son, and accept what I say. And the years of your life will be many. As a matter of fact, they'll be eternal. And the only thing eternal on this earth is the house of Yahweh. So this is where we get the instructions from. But notice Yahweh, what Yahweh says here. I am teaching you in the way of wisdom. Just like I did to help you avoid the coronavirus. I'm leading you in right paths, which means that there is another path you can take. And that's why he's pleading with us to make sure that we accept what he says. When you walk, verse 12, your path will be clear and open. When you run, you will not stumble. Take a firm hold on instruction and do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Pretty strong. Avoid it. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. That's exactly what we read about in Genesis chapter 6. That's what man started doing. For the wicked, verse 16, the wicked cannot rest unless they have done evil. They get together and they plot evil, just like people get together and plot to pull you out of the house of Yahweh with their websites or their phone calls or emails or whatever. You know, it's pretty amazing thinking of the earth being defiled and the very fact that a major part of the way that the earth was defiled is because mankind has not exhibited self-control. He has the ability to perform self-control, but he has to be taught true self-control. And we're so blessed to have that in the house of Yahweh. We've had it for years. In this booklet, Betrothal and Marriage, Yahweh's Way, I actually was preparing a different sermon that a counselor directed me to this booklet, and then I got stuck on the very first page and changed the sermon to something because this was so powerful. And if you young, very young and old sons and daughters of Yahweh will zoom in to my fumble lips here, I think you'll see how wonderful this booklet is. In the very first paragraph, Yahweh created strong emotional desires between men and women. Guess y'all couldn't see it if I put it up, but you see, that's the way Yahweh designed us, young men, young women. He actually designed us to have strong emotional bonds. A man with his wife, they can have an eternal marriage with a healthy lust that could keep that marriage going strong forever. So Yahweh created strong emotional desires between men and women. Now these desires, though, sometimes completely overwhelm common sense. It's a very heavy paragraph and a lot that can be taught from it. So I would, some of you young men, if you can hear me, I would that possibly at a lamplight, when it's just you and your Abba, your dad, that you could ask him, well, dad, the Kohan said, how is it that desires sometimes can completely overwhelm common sense? Because we're obviously not going to go into too many details up here. But it'd be great to have a man-only, man-to-man lamplight or a daughter-to-mother. Because these desires sometimes completely overwhelm practicality, foresight, and future plans. And in some people, even morals. You might remember years ago, I'm going to try to be bold and do this. Try to show you, this is only a few snapshots, but this was a young man who got pulled over. He was driving this car and he had a bad tail light, and he got pulled over. And then, actually this occurred not too many miles from my home, about a mile away from another deacon's home. And he ended up getting killed. He got shot by this officer. I can't remember how many times. I think it was over 10 bullets was in him. But all over driving his vehicle, he decided to get out of the vehicle and he decided to run. Now, I have a little bit of insight into it, but let's see. This young man's name, and I'm going to just use the term Mr. Scott, because that is his last name. Mr. Scott was never taught the peaceful solution. He didn't have Israel Hawkins as his teacher. If he had Israel Hawkins as his teacher, Mr. Scott would have learned at a very early age the dangers that could occur when you look at a young lady in an improper way. Mr. Scott could have learned at a very early age the dangers of dating. See, Mr. Scott never was told that, well, if you look at a woman in an improper way, a young lady, you could possibly create a lust, just like man did in Genesis 6. I didn't really get to that, but an improper lust. And then that lust could actually possibly lead to that young lady becoming pregnant. No, Mr. Scott didn't have Israel Hawkins to warn him and teach him that if he got that woman pregnant, now he's got to not just deal with that woman, but her parents and her grandparents and the doctors are going to be calling and so forth. No, no one told Mr. Scott that he could possibly one day have to pay child support. Because I'm blessed to work with Mr. Scott's brother. And Mr. Scott's brother told me, after all this had taken place, he said he's not going back to prison again, not ever. So he made a decision, a strong, emotional decision. It was kind of overwhelming, obviously, that he was going to run from the officer if he got pulled over, even for a taillight infraction. No, if Mr. Scott had Israel Hawkins as his teacher, then he could be alive today, because he's dead. And it ties many things together of illicit acts. But it was a great honor to present some of this to you to reflect back on just how beneficial it is to be in the house of Yahweh, to go through these perilous times with our leader and teacher in front of us, because without him, we are nothing. And if you all rejoice for your next speaker, it's been an honor to address you. I'd like to turn it over to the great Kohan Zephaniah Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. The blessings of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Although I can't see your beautiful faces, I can see them in my mind. And I know you're listening. And I'd like to thank everyone for joining us via the technology that Yahweh's given us in these last days to get this message out. We know we have many watching live. I want to continue along the lines that we've been hearing today and throughout the feast, and I will say that I think the information that has been brought out at this feast has been incredible. It's been extremely encouraging. You see the great wisdom that Yahweh has truly put within each and every member of His house through the many years of teaching. Now, recently, Pastor he's encouraged us, and he has for years, and I have the Books of Israel quotes to prove it, that he's encouraged us for years to trust in Yahweh and to get rid of fear. And as we see, as we are in these days of the plagues, we know that the opportunity to be fearful could arise, but it's going to be up to each and every one of us to trust fully in Yahweh and to show Yahweh that we know without a shadow of a doubt that He is going to bring us through this. If you remember, years ago, Pastor told us of a dream he had, and if you want, you could be turning over to Daniel chapter 3. If you turn over to Daniel chapter 3, I want to start there as I tell you about this dream. Pastor had a dream where he said, Yahweh told him, it's in the books. The answers are in the books. And I've thought about that many times, and as we go over the books of Israel quotes today, that dream is for us as well. Yahweh told us these things are in the books, and they are in the books of Israel. Now, I know if you're watching us for the first time, or you're just starting to tune into the House of Yahweh, you're going to be a little bit overwhelmed when you see the stacks of books of Israel that have been put out over the years. But Pastor Reddy answered that question for you. He said, get the latest one, start there, and work your way backwards. So follow those instructions. And as we're going to see, when we're obedient, that's where our blessings come from right there, through our obedience. So if you look over to Daniel chapter 3, I want to pick up in verse 14. Now, just to give you a little bit, this is a very well-known example to us in the Holy Scriptures. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But I want to look at the strength that these men had, the determination, their unwavering ability that they didn't care about their own life. They knew that Yahweh was in full control. So as we see, there were the men that accused these three of not following the king's decree. And, you know, if you didn't follow the king's decree, it wasn't just they issued a fine here, or, you know, you might set a day or two in jail. No, it was your very life. It was your very life that was at stake. So the trial, if you would, it picks up in verse 14 here. And Nebuchadnezzar spoke, and he said to them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods, Elohim, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? So this is a pretty, you know, you can see it's a pretty severe charge that's being brought against them. Now, if you are prepared to fall down and worship the image which I have set up, at the time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and every kind of music, then it will be well with you. Okay, so there was that little bit of, hey, you know what? If you just go ahead, you can dishonor Yahweh right now, bow down here to these instruments that bring me this worship, and it's going to be okay with you. But really, it wasn't. It would not have gone well with them. But if you refuse to worship, and you will be thrown into the midst of a burning fiery furnace in the same hour, and what God, El, is it that will deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered King Nebuchadnezzar and said, and this is the point right here, in the very few words that these men spoke, it said volumes about their trust and their faith in Father Yahweh. They said, there is no need for us to answer you cautiously in this matter. These guys weren't like the top negotiators in all the land of Israel, and they knew they were about ready to deliver the speech of their life. No, they were simple Hebrew people that have been brought up, that were brought up on the laws of Yahweh, and they knew who was in full control, and it wasn't the king. For if we are thrown into the burning fiery furnace, our Father, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. And hopefully he does deliver us from your hands, O king. But if he will not, let it also be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. You know, and you can read the rest of the story, and I encourage you to do it, and I encourage you to read it to your children and put it in their minds, because these are the things that build the strength and the faith within us. But look at verse 28 and notice who marveled at their strength they had, because Yahweh did protect them. Yahweh did protect them. He spared them, you know, but know for sure, they didn't matter. It didn't matter to them, the outcome. They were okay either way. Whether Yahweh delivered them or whether he didn't, they were not going to dishonor Yahweh right at the very last. And verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, blessed be the Most High God, El, whom Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego serve. And you can read the footnote there at the beginning of Daniel, and it explains why they referred to Yahweh as a God. But continuing, it says, who has sent his Moloch and delivered his servants, who trusted in him. Disobeying the king's command, they yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their God, which we know is our heavenly Father Yahweh. And again, they refer to Yahweh as a god, but we know he's not a god. But if you see, nobody did that. You didn't disobey the king, but they showed their trust in Yahweh, and even the king recognized it. What could he do after that? Look, I do have a couple books of Israel quotes for you, and I want to start off here with this first one. And I know it might be a little bit difficult for you to see, but if you can write these down and go back on your own time, this is the sixth book of Israel, chapter 4, verse 3. And Pastor says here, I would like for you to get fear totally out of your mind. The way you do that, and this is the question, you know, how do you get to the point where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't care. They didn't care about their life. They were content either way. They knew they had a job to do. They were going to do it. And they knew Yahweh was in full control. The way you do it is that you put your trust in what Yahweh says. And we're going to cover quite a few books of Israel here. But know for sure, when Pastor tells us, when we see these words here, trust in Father Yahweh, that is telling us, trust in the one that Yahweh sent to teach us. He is the one that will guide us and lead us. I guess Pastor says here, you will never totally get fear out of you, because it's a natural thing with all people. And you know, understand that Pastor said, you know, a brave person, someone that has true courage, they do what's right. They do what's right, you know, despite having any type of fear. They do what's right. And, you know, sometimes it's the irrational actions that come when a person begins to fear. And that's the thing that Yahweh is telling us. Don't fear. I'm in full control. I've got this. Well, at least you can put your trust in Yahweh and know the end results of things. And who else knows these things? We, the house of Yahweh, are the only ones that know and understand the end result. We're in this time period. We see it and we believe it. Whether you die in some trial or not, if you have your trust in Yahweh and are doing what he says, you're going to be resurrected. You know, and I'd like to put in your mind right there at that point, Psalm 118, verse 17. Now, Pastor, he reads Psalm 118, verse 26 quite often. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. And we know that in these days of the plagues that are coming upon us, it's a humbling for mankind. Right now, mankind will not admit. They will not agree with the man who comes in the name of Yahweh. But they will when this is over. And they will see that Yahweh has been with them this entire time. So verse 17, it says, we will not die, we will not all die, but we will live, and we will declare the works of Yahweh. And as Pastor said here, no, this work isn't going to be put in the grave. He said, there are going to be those that will resurrect anyone that has gone to sleep in this time period to be in the kingdom. And then Pastor says here, if you don't, okay, if you don't trust in Yahweh and do what he says, you will end up missing out. And what a shame that would be to come all the way down to this very last time period, the time period we've been waiting for, this our entire walk in the house of Yahweh and blow it right at the end. Dishonor Yahweh right at the very last. In the Peaceful Solution, the Building Moral Excellence book in the workplace, it says that trust is something that is earned. It's not something that's automatically given. Okay, page 128 for your notes, and this is the workplace manual. Being trusted is an honor, but trust is not something that is automatically given. And brothers and sisters, Yahweh doesn't automatically expect us to trust Him. He proves to us that we can trust Him. That's what we need to understand. He proves to us that we can trust Him, and we'll see that it's through the prophecies. By telling us in advance all these things, and then we see it come right to pass right before us. But it is earned over a period of time by proving to be honest, diligent, and responsible. And, you know, I can tell you that, be turning over to Yochanan chapter 13, Yochanan chapter 13, verse 19. You know, as we speak about telling in advance, this is something that Yeshua did. He told his disciples in advance. And notice the reason here. Notice the reason. Yochanan 13, verse 19. Yochanan 13, verse 19. As soon as I get there. Yochanan 13, verse 19. Now I tell you before it comes to pass, in order that when it does, not if it does, when it does come to pass, you might believe that I am He. You know, and I have to say that this is one that I love using with my son. You know, and I tell him, he'll come to me and he'll be faced with a problem. And I'll say, son, this is the way you need to handle this. This is going to bring you your best outcome right here. But I leave it up to him. It's his choice. And it's not that I want to see him fall in any way or not be obedient. But I know that he needs to learn to trust in authority and trust in what authority says. And this is what Yahweh is doing for us. He's telling us, trust this authority. You can trust me. I've proven to you. I've shown you these things all these years. It's right before you right now. Trust me. Believe what I'm telling you. And Yeshua said it right there. He said, I tell you it before, so that when it does come to pass, you might believe that I am He, and there is no other like Yahweh. We know that. Look at Yeshua chapter 21, verse 45. If you look at Yeshua verse 21, chapter 21, verse 45, I didn't write down a page number, and I know it's a little bit difficult for you to flip the pages in your car, but, you know, all things for a reason, and it's a blessing that Yahweh has given us a way to rejoice before Him at this feast, despite these restrictions of the social distancing. And, you know, we do it all. We show our compliance, but Yahweh's in full control. Chapter 21, verse 45. Not one of Yahweh's honorable promises. Notice he puts it honorable, honorable promises to the house of Israel failed. Every promise came to pass. Now, I'm not sure who else has a track record like that, but I guarantee you, I know not one. Only Yahweh can do that right there. And that's what Pastor wants us to believe in. And he's told us all these years, you know, believe. You can believe these prophecies. You can trust Yahweh. Okay, another Book of Israel quote right here. Put that up. And this is also the sixth Book of Israel, chapter 25, verse 10. How did we possibly know? How did I know when I wrote the Mark of the Beast that there would be a 7-year peace plan? You know, who can answer that? It wasn't there when I wrote the Mark of the Beast. How could I possibly know that? I knew the prophecies. I knew the prophecies in the scriptures, and that is what built the trust that the overseer, Yisro Hawkins, has today for his father Yahweh. It built that trust in him. I knew there would be a 7-year peace plan. And I was here at the house of Yahweh before that peace plan was signed in 1993. Pastor never wavered, not once, from saying there would be a 7-year peace plan. It wasn't signed in the 70s. It wasn't even signed until the 90s. You can know in advance, if you just pay attention and study these prophecies with me, you will see in advance what Yahweh, what is going to take place. And then, listen, this is what it's for right here. It will increase your ability for Yahweh to use you to teach others and always believe. Remember, Yahweh's going to be telling us things throughout all eternity. We will never be greater than our Father Yahweh. But we need to prove to Him that we trust Him. So the pastor says, then it will increase your ability for Yahweh to use you to teach others and always believe and trust in Yahweh and be willing to go out and do what He said. And I remind you of the instruction that we heard yesterday. I know the priest earlier mentioned it. I think every one of us could mention it again, and it wouldn't be too much. Yahweh's going to give you a small window of opportunity to flee to the mountain. Don't miss it. I'd like to look at another example here. If you turn over to Exodus chapter 14, go to Exodus chapter 14. Pastor has been talking a lot about the plagues in our day, and he said that in one of his recent sermons that, you know, these are like the days of Moshe right here. And this is another example on how these people needed to, the children of Israel, they needed to learn to trust Yahweh. Okay, and the plagues, all the plagues had gone through. Yahweh had softened Pharaoh's heart for a minute, okay, and you'll see it, and softened it for a minute, so that the children of Israel could go and serve Yahweh like Moshe had been saying the whole time. So if you pick up in verse 8 of chapter 14, so Yahweh hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. So they gathered, or they had left Egypt, and Yahweh set this up. You know, he set this up. He told them, go down there and camp by the sea. Okay, well, when you have a huge body of water there on the side of you, you're pretty much can only go in one direction, and that is the other way. Okay? And so I'm going to paraphrase here, but the whole army came against them. And in verse 13, okay, well, verse 10 says, they were afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to Yahweh. And if you look at verse 13, if there's ever a line in the scriptures that I hope to say one day, it would be this right here. Moshe said to the people, do not fear, stand still and see the salvation of Yahweh. And Yahweh delivered them. No, they didn't know that He was going to open up that sea and let them walk straight across there on dry ground. Their sandals didn't even get muddy. They went on dry ground. And when the armies pursued them, Yahweh sent confusion there. So much so, they couldn't drive their chariots. He jammed up their wheels. And Yahweh delivered the children of Israel. But even in that seemingly hopeless situation, if you put yourself there in their shoes, it wasn't too much for Yahweh. Yahweh easily delivered them. He easily brought them right through. Easily. Nothing is too hard for Yahweh. You know, and I want to say that when you feel that you're up against your Red Sea and the Egyptian armies on the other way, on the other side, know for sure Yahweh can get you out. My time is quickly running out here, and I do have a couple more Books of Israel quotes that I want to read. If you just write this down, the 7th Book of Israel, Part 2, Chapter 19, Verse 3, 7th Book of Israel, Part 2, Chapter 19, Verse 3, and if you write this one down, the 8th Book of Israel, Part 2, Chapter 26, Verse 45, okay, I'm going to end with this one right here, in the 6th Book of Israel, Chapter 4, Verse 10. Okay, and I'll put it up here quickly on the overhead for you. There's many quotes from the books of Israel. I can't encourage you enough to go there and read and study them. Pastor says, do not fear. If it ended right there, you could set your mind to be brave and then change it in a few seconds. You have to get the rest of what is taught in the Holy Scriptures to know how to stand up against evil. First off, you have to know that you're standing for and believing in the laws and prophecies of the kingdom of Yahweh. Therefore, you have to listen. You have to listen and get these scriptures in your mind in order to be strong, in order to stand up and be strong. If you trust enough in Yahweh and know what is coming and why it's coming, then you won't be afraid. Brothers and sisters, we know what's coming. We know why it's coming. The challenge is, do not fear. Now, as I turn it over here to the next speaker, in Yael chapter 2, verse 28, the scripture says, "It'll come to pass that I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams." Now, I'm not sure if this next speaker had a dream long ago about all of us listening to the sermons in our vehicles, but what he always says takes on a whole meaning now. I'd like you to blow your horns and buckle your seatbelts for the great Kahan, Benaiah Hawkins.
Shalom, everybody. Can Mosley ask while he's threshing the floor? I'll take the muzzle off. All right, so the peace of Yahweh be with you, and most of all, listen with a believing mind. And yes, you all can sit down and buckle up. Put your seatbelts on. We're living in a time, mankind dreads and fears, but we actually rejoice in this time period. And you will rejoice too before it's all over, during this feast. At this time, this is the 40th feast circuit for the house of Yahweh. I was here at the beginning when it started. And it's wonderful, you know, if I could write a book about all the roller coaster up and down which it takes to endure here. But when I think of my calling, I ask, I didn't know who was asking, I know no man had an answer, but I ask, take all things away from me, give me one truth. So I denounced myself without knowing what I asked. And what occurred was this, remember the Sabbath. That floored me. But anyway, that held on, you know, and then also other scriptures were, he who endures to the end. You know, we must endure to the end. And the beginning, you know, that was my beginning, all right? So now, today, we're going to, these 40 years, yes, since the house of Yahweh been established. Now, 40 years is a significant meaning. The children of Israel went 40 years when Yahweh sent Moshe into Egypt to take him out. And we are now before the greatest gathering ever, which will be spoken of throughout eternity. And we're waiting for something now, which is the most important thing of all times. We're waiting for the gift poured out from Yahweh. And we're going to go through here, and we have an example here how this occurred before. All right? This occurred once. And this time, when Yahweh stretches out his hand the second time, we see now when we go through and then listen and read it, we're going to read and study that while we're reading it. All right? So, let's start in Acts. Long ago when Yeshua, that was 40 years, 2,000 years ago, when Yeshua was right after his resurrection, you know, great things occurred at that time. All right, in Acts, start in verse 1. "In my first account, O brothers in Yahweh, I wrote all of the Yeshua began both to teach, to do and to teach. Until the day that he was taken up, he gave instruction through Spirit Holy to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also showed himself alive after his suffering in the garden and on the stake, by many infallible proofs, appearing to them during 40 days, speaking of matters pertaining to the kingdom of Yahweh. So he appeared to them after his resurrection for 40 days. 40 is a quarantine. 40 days. Many times before he went away, he had to quarantine himself from the people so that he can grasp the matters of the kingdom of Yahweh. Or I don't concentrate on those things. And we, in these last days, that's the greatest deception of all. It's sidetracking us. It's distracting us from what we should seek the most in our life. The kingdom of Yahweh is at hand. And one thing we desire, that we should dwell within the house of Yahweh, within the kingdom of Yahweh forever. But you know, Satan has the greatest tool of all. A temptable television. And, of course, it is a tool. It is like a two-edged sword. All right? It's needed, but also in these last days we have to be careful now while we're preparing now for this great gift to receive, as we will see through the scriptures. But there's another deception. Now these cell phones. You don't have to have a house and a big television there. You can take it in your pocket. And boy, I can see how she is destroying mankind through this. It's like a two-edged sword also. Because instantly now, we could be connected way down to the ends of the earth, all right, and communicate. So now, remember, it's for after his resurrection, there was infallible proofs. And continue on in verse 4. And being gathered together with them, put your mind on this time period, because we are at Passover. It could have been, it was now. We are a little later on now. Just, you will understand why we study it while we're reading it. And being gathered together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. Now, we're not in Jerusalem now. We're at the other end of the earth, as it was prophesied. And he said to them, this was Yeshua's instruction, remember, wait for the promise of the Father, for Father Yahweh, which you have heard from me. For Yohanan truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with Holy Spirit, or Spirit Holy, not many days from now. Therefore, when they gathered together, when they came together and asked him, saying, Teacher, at this time will you restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own authority. Remember, now if you go to 1 Thessalonians, you don't have to go down, mark it down. 1 Thessalonians 5. All right? And there it says, brethren, there is no need for us to write about the times and the seasons. Read it for yourself and study it, okay? So we don't have to ask that question, because this is the time of the season now, and as we will see how this has come to pass. So now he says, it is not for you to know. He said that to the disciples, but now it is for us to know. Yeshua is testifying for us. He says, there's no need that I have to write you again about these times and season. Well, for what? But you will receive power after Holy Spirit has come upon you. He remember, he says, Yohanan truly baptized. You were baptized with the water, right? Now you're going to receive gift of Spirit Holy. But you will receive power after Spirit Holy has come up on you. And you will be witnesses of me, of Yeshua that time, both in Jerusalem and in all Yada, and in Samaria, and stop right there. That's how far they came to witness. That was the disciples and those to whom Yeshua spoke, and to the utmost ends of the earth. Now, where is the utmost end of the earth? Where did this work started again in these last days? Oklahoma, 1934. That's when it started to come alive again. Rather than unfallible proofs, the testimonies. We, for 40 years, we have seen testimony after testimony. We went back and forth. And now written down for us. All those things had to come to pass again through the house of Yahweh, through the servant Israel whom Yahweh sent, the Malach whom Yahweh sent, to testify again. So when this comes to pass, then you will believe. Only a fool would not believe if you see these things. We're seeing these things come to pass that the end of has come up on us. For the whole world is under the shadow of death. A dreadful fear has come upon them. And you haven't seen nothing yet. But Yahshua and Yahweh said, fear not. Your servant Israel said, fear not. I said, fear not. What are you going to fear? To do what is righteous? You must be stupid. Did you examine what sin is bringing to our lives? What took place? Examine every part of sin in your life and examine what benefit will it be to you. And then look inside, see all the destruction is bringing. And you will choose again. Yahweh said, choose life. The choice is ours. Examine what is sin benefiting to us. Hatred, misery, unbelief, fear? No. We do not fear to practice Yahweh's righteousness. We do not fear to declare the name of Yahweh. We are not ashamed of it. We are ashamed of sin. Don't look back. I don't want to look back. I have nothing to do with it no more. Now we can examine all the examples from one end to the other and these last days. Now, so here we are at the endmost ends of the earth. You see, this again comes alive. And when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. Now, I'm not going to go in what I had dreamed or seen in a vision, all right? That's some other time, all right? But a cloud received him, and while they looked up steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, remember the word behold, two men by them, clothed in white apparel, could be white linen, or clothed with the righteousness of the saints. And we have heard there's books written about those two men who stood by them. And these two men, or one man stands by us now, within our midst. Now, if you don't believe that, well, there's always going to be believers and unbelievers. Don't worry about that. And also said, so two men, behold, he says, behold, two men stood by them, clothed in white apparel, clothed with the righteousness of the saints, who also said, you men of Abilene, you men worldwide, everywhere right now, not just of Galilee, for the message is going out throughout this world. The message, the Yahweh's righteousness is clear on salvation, will be those who long for it with all their might, with all their life. Now, who also said, you men of Galilee, you men wherever you hear, those who hear in these days, why you stand gazing up to heaven and listen to all kind of stories? This same Yeshua who was taken up from you into the heavens will come again in the same way as you saw him going to heaven. Yes, Yeshua is being revealed here. All right, his life and everything. Now, and when they, now before Yeshua's return, Yeshua said, behold, I say, I go and prepare a place for you where I am. I will receive you to me again. But that first certain things got to come occur. It says, my reward is with me, the testimony of Yeshua. But the work is before me. And Yahweh said, I will do a short work of righteousness in this earth. And short indeed it will be. And the work of Yahweh, which will be spoken of, will be the greatest gathering, and then we're going to see very shortly here what is going to occur. So you won't be taken by surprise. All right? So then those who heard this thing went to Jerusalem from the hill on the Mount of Olives. Remember what he said here before, he says. He gave him instruction, he says. And he says, do not depart. Now we're not in Jerusalem. Do not depart from the house of Yahweh until you will receive gift of Spirit Holy. Now, let's continue on, all right? Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill they called Mount of Olives, which lies near Jerusalem, and kept the Sabbath according to Yahweh's law. All right? And when they had entered into the city, now we have a new city here. Remember, you've seen a sign now at Abel Way, the city of Israel. This will be the greatest refugee city this world has ever seen, established by Yahweh. Very soon this gathering will come, and there will be seen those who have been driven from their land, from the utmost corners of the world, will settle all around. And the house of Yahweh is a great lighthouse. And you will see that with your own eyes, and you will speak about it, and these things which occur. So when they entered into the city, they went up to the upper room where they stayed, and Kephron, the disciples were there, and some women, of course. And this all, listen to this now, and this all continued in one accord, unity of mind. Remember, he says, and Yeshua spoke to them while he appeared for 40 days, speaking of matters pertaining to the kingdom of Yahweh. What do you think they talked about? A football game? A movie or whatever? No. In unity of mind, in prayer and supplication. All right? Now, until now, in those days, Kephas stood up in the midst of the disciples. The number of names altogether were about 120 chosen. Now remember, the harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. We have many people, but those who remained in unity of mind, now they had to do little work out on them, but they came back on the Sabbath to the house of Yahweh, and in unity of mind, to talk about matters of Yahweh's kingdom. All right? Now, look in chapter 2 in Acts. And they waited there for 40 days. All right? In other words, they were quarantined. The reason this quarantine is necessary because to get rid of thoughts of vanities, to get ourselves prepared for the greatest gift ever given to mankind. For without the gift of Spirit Holy, Yahweh could not send us nowhere. Now we have to quarantine. Quarantine means you have to separate yourself from certain things. We need to overcome this carnal mind. You know, you cannot think of I hate the thoughts of vanities. The scripture says we hate the thoughts of vanity. You know how we put the thoughts of vanities in our mind. You try to forget it. Next time you come to confessions, well, when we come home, we watch that wonderful news. This is, they call it the show, the Today Show, the news, and they give you a little bit of news, and then they give you all the advertising, all to fill your head again. What you try to throw out with thoughts of vanities. We cannot. So we will have to quarantine ourselves from all these vanities, which we, if we examine ourselves, we know what's our weakness, what's within us. We need to sacrifice it away. I think we should find Conan, the TV thief. Collect all these TVs, because when we need to know the news, they will be proclaimed within the house of Yahweh, the things we must know. But the rest of it, we don't need to know. We don't need these vanities pumped into our mind, the music and everything is in there. I think that is one of the greatest deception of Satan. If we don't get prepared to get rid of these vain thoughts, but we can, you know, we can if we put certain, put away this influence of Satan. She will sidetrack you. These phones, you can have all the news there too. You got to get rid of these things. We gotta, but like Yeshua said, speaking of matters pertaining the kingdom of Yahweh. And in these last days, that's the greatest thing ever going on right now. And many echo, no one can come here unless Yahweh has drawn him over here. So now, they came to the days of Canaan. So what I'm trying to say, for 40 is a, they were for 40 days, they quarantined certain people, not all people, certain people. They took it to heart and they put away all their things. It takes time, it takes strength of mind. It takes true belief to get rid of those things. Take all things away from me. I would never got come closer through had I not asked this to remember the Sabbath. One thought. This thought was so powerful and is still powerful. It is the kingdom of Yahweh is surrounding with one righteous thought. And you can build from that thought on. You can build it. Yahweh has offered now salvation to mankind. His righteousness is revealed to all, to all the world. And then the end will come, and the end will come rather quickly. And Yahweh will also make the work short in righteousness. We're going to see what this work will be quickly. Now, so when the day of Pentecost, so they, these 40 days, remember, he appeared to them 40 days. And from now until Pentecost, it could be, I didn't say it will be, that this is the time that we receive the gift of Spirit Holy, which was promised. And then, it could be the next one, but either one. But that's about it. This one or next one, I would say I get prepared for this one. Because next one might be not there for you anymore. Now, when the day of Pentecost came and had fully come, and they were again there in one accord in unity of mind. Remember what we just read in 14, and all continued with one accord, unity of mind, in prayer and supplication. And here in chapter 2, Acts, he says, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, and they were in one accord, unity of mind, in one place. The house of Yahweh, the lighthouse. That's where their mind was, on the kingdom of Yahweh. If you can put away the influence of Satan. Don't take this lightly. That's the last opportunity for mankind, the greatest opportunity. And suddenly, listen, they were prepared then, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, just as a violent wind being carried and filled the house they were sitting in, the house of Yahweh, and they perceived that languages were being distributed just as lightning, instantly settling on each of them. And when they were filled with Spirit Holy, they began to speak with other languages as Spirit gave them to speak out. See, there was a lot of people at that time in Pentecost. Jerusalem was filled with people from worldwide, even from Rome, visitors came. Though the soldiers was there, but others. Now living in Jerusalem, if you go down here, you can see there was worldwide people. And they could be probably not all here right now, but they can hear it with the technology Yahweh has provided. The TV, this time, it could come handy. See, it is a two-edged sword, either way. You have to consider that. Now, and in verse 11, the Christian and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own languages of the wonderful works of Yahweh. And they were all amazed and bewildered, and saying one to another, what does this mean? Others, there was believers and unbelievers, others scoffing, saying, this man, a full new wine. Oh, they started to drinking again. Oh, they're getting a big party again. Hey, hey. No, they were speaking with the gift of Spirit Holy. Then, but Kephas, standing up with the leaven, lifted his voice and said to them, men of Yada and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. So give me your attention. Now I say, man, worldwide, whoever will listen to the house of Yahweh in these days, listen up. For these men, these are not drunk as you assume, seeing only the third, well, the third day of the day, all right? But this is, listen here now in verse 16. But this is the beginning, that time, of which was spoken of by prophet Yael. And here is the prophet of Yael, that he spoke. And it will come to pass in the last days, says Yahweh. Listen, there was another prophet spoke, and it will come to pass in the last days in Isaiah 2, verse 2 and 4, on Micaiah. It will come to pass that there will be a house of Yahweh established. Brethren, it has come to pass. It has come to pass. We are here. Yahweh has... When you see these things, will you believe now? But this was the beginning. This is the beginning of what prophet spoken of by prophet Yahweh. And it has, it will come to pass. It will come to pass just like this other prophecy, the house of Yahweh established. I will pour out my spirit holy upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Yes, he says, and all my servants and handmaidens, men and women, nobody's excused here, I will pour out my spirit in those days, in these days now, and they will prophesy. Since the house of Yahweh has been established, this has all this testimony from the beginning until now that were revealed over and over, written in the books of Israel. These are the testimonies. Now we see it come to the short work of righteousness. And in these days are here now. All right? And I will show now, I will show wonders in the heavens above, signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. In the earth beneath, you see this plague. These are the wonders that he will show. How Satan's kingdom will crumble and crush and never ever get rise again. We're going to make sure of that. Now, we need blood. You know, blood of man. Every man will die by the hand of his own brother or they're going to kill themselves. Blood. That comes through war. Look, there's more bloodshed than ever before. This is the wonders. And fire, nuclear fire, brethren, nuclear fire. We will give glory and praise through this nuclear war and through these fires. Yes, we will sing praises to our Father, as the other prophecy said. And pillars of smoke, the last plague we'll see, that will be hail, 66 pounds. You can find that in Revelation 16. It will fall on this fire. Each pebble about 66 pounds more or of a talent, 66 more or less. And when that comes down on this fire, the smoke will intense, this will say that will cover the starlight and the moon, and they will not give the light. All right? And see, these are the signs. Blood through war, fire, the nuclear, and pillars of smoke, which the nuclear fires there, you know, that's going to be devastation there. And the sun, that will turn the sun into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and wonderful days of Yahweh come. This day is not terrible for us, because that's when the millennium starts. That's where close to Yeshua's, when you hear the voice, come up here, and there will be the resurrection. There's a lot of things we're going to see shortly now. And it will come to pass, remember, whoever calls with the name of Yahweh will be delivered. Now, it's not just called Yahweh, Yahweh, it says. Even if they call, I will not hear them. There's, you will know what it means to call with the name of Yahweh, right? So this is gonna what we're waiting for now. Now, what is the thing, the gift? Remember, here. And if you turn over to verse 38, it says, Kepha said to them, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, with the authority of Yeshua, for the remission of sins. And, of course, you will convert to it. And you will receive gift of Spirit Holy. All right, now, what is the gift you're going to get? You get to know. Let's turn over here and make sure that they remember this, that the testimonies of Yahweh are wonderful. The testimony of Yahweh are wonderful. All right, now, let's go over to Isaiah 34, 16. Search out of the book of Yahweh, out of the books of Israel. Not one of these will be neglected, these wonders that we just saw. As it is written, Yahweh is the shepherd, and they shall not want. Yahweh is the shepherd. Yahweh, no one can come unless Yahweh draws him. For the mouth of Yahweh has commanded and his spirit has gathered them. The God that's going to be great gathering, all right? Now, when these people come, Yahweh could not let us go out to them, to meet them, without the gift of Spirit Holy. So what is the next, all right? Let's look in the all right, in Malachi, remember Malachi 1? Let's look over there. Oh, not Malachi, Malachi. Yeah, Malachi. Look in Malachi now, and 4. For behold, he says, the days come that will burn like an oven. And the proud, yes, and all those who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day comes that will burn them up. That all mankind labors for the fire because of this fire, which they caused, is not caused by Yahweh. And it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who reverence the name of Yahweh, the light of righteousness will arise with healing in the wings. That's the gift, that healing. That's part of the healing. What will you do? And you will go out leaping like calves from the stall. Think about it. Could we go out with all the thoughts of vanities and all the people coming and we don't know what to say? They would overrun you. The waters would overflow you. Now, with healing in the wings, remember? So now what will you do? And turn back to Isaiah 35, all right? 35. Here, the gift of Yahweh. You pictured yourself now, Yahweh, we're going to go forth from the lighthouse, from the house of Yahweh, amongst the people. That is the work cut short in righteousness. And this will be, you will see miracles, and you will see more wonders than you will be talking about forever. In verse 3, 35 verse 3, our first thing is strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. They're going to come out shaking from these horrible times upon them when they come here. But when they see us, they will rejoice. Say to those who have fearful mind, be strong. Do not fear. Behold, your Father comes with recompense, with restoration. Fear not, no more, for the kingdom of Yahweh is at hand to you. He will come, he says, and he will save you. He will come with recompense, not with vengeance, with recompense. He will come to save you. Who will tell him that? Those who live like calves from the stall. And then, he says, and then, the eyes of the blind will be opened. You get it? The ears of the deaf will be unstopped. The lame man will leap like a deer. The tongue of the dumb will silent will sing. For the wilderness, in the wilderness of the people. Yes, brethren. And the highway will be there, the way, it will be called the way of holiness. The unclean will not pass over it. Mark well who may come into the city of Israel, to the great refugee city. Which you can find in Psalm 46 and 48. But it will be for those who walk in the way. Yes, the fool will not err in there. All right? And the ransom of Yahweh will return and will come to Zion. Remember, I will say to Zion, you my people, to the house of Yahweh, with songs and everlasting joy upon their head. You will obtain joy and gladness. And sorrow and sighing will flee from away forever. Yahweh bless your understanding and examine yourselves before this great day is coming. We're only a few days away now, 40 days, and then wait on Yahweh, I say, just like Yeshua said. Yahweh bless you and keep you. And now for our next speaker, keep on honking. The great Kahan, Michael. There you go.
What a blessing, what a blessing. Shalom, everyone. Man, just remember all the things that you've heard, because this is just fantastic. Remember, Yahweh is here at his feast, right? This is his feast. You are his people. And what a blessing it is. Remember that, you know, as he's talked about the dreams and the visions and the voice of Yahweh, all of these things come alive with us in these last days, especially with us in these last days. Because remember, all of the whole book of Yahweh was written for us. It's all written for us so that we can know these things and to understand these things. Let me show you something here. This is because it really, this is what this whole sermon is based upon. It's in 1 Corinthians 14:22. It says, prophecy is for the believers, not for the unbelievers. And you see that word for in Webster's Dictionary, for is used as a function word to indicate purpose. Also as a function to indicate an intended goal. So therefore, prophecy is the purpose or intended goal for those who believe Yahweh and no one else. Okay? No one else. Now, in the beginning, Yahweh had a plan. We know that. Yahweh had a plan. And in that plan, of course, Yahweh made man in his image, right? He made it in his image. And that image has been used throughout the history of mankind with Israel Hawkins throughout history. And Yahweh's witness and his seed are actually mentioned and used in this work from the beginning of time. Sounds interesting? Want to hear more? Hopefully so. Here, we have in the 16th book of Israel, in chapter 42, now this is verses 9 through 11. He says, what's marvelous to me is that whether you know it or not, you're all standing on the sea of glass. Right now. Right now. Right now, Yahweh knows that you're in your vehicle or wherever you are. He knows that you're here at his feast. He says, I know physically you're not, but Yahweh has images of you. Notice, images of you there on the sea of glass. He has all these numbers, all the gematrias before him, and the prophecies. The marvelous thing is that he had the sea of glass there before the world began. And this is what he based his plan on. In the beginning was the plan already. This sea of glass that it was on actually has all these things shown on it. And this particular group, notice, who Yahweh shows is Yahshua, who is our high priest, myself, Israel Hawkins, and then the rest of us, the house of Yahweh. We're on that sea of glass. In fact, he knows what model vehicle you're sitting in if you're out there right now. The prophecy itself, it proves itself true. Remember? True. It proves itself true. Remember all the trusting in Yahweh, all the things that we've heard earlier. When you put together the here a little and there a little, Yahweh shows you a picture. And he puts it together just like a movie that you can actually see in your mind's eye. Okay? So the title of this sermon is called A Sea of Glass Vision of the Man of Yahweh. A Sea of Glass Vision of the Man of Yahweh. Because this is what I want to point out. This is what I want to show you. In Revelation chapter 1, now without going into all the detail of breaking it down, we're just going to tell you really what it means. The revelation of Yahshua Messiah, which Yahweh gave to him to show his servants in the house of Yahweh. Now notice he's showing us in the house of Yahweh things which must shortly come to pass. And that's in intermediate stages, as Pastor has been bringing out. And he sent and made it known through, and that's very important to realize, known through his seventh Moloch, Israel Hawkins, to his servant Yochanan, okay? To his servant Yochanan. Now, in the 16th book of Israel, chapter 43, verse 81, he says, this is Pastor speaking, he says, now remember, Pastor reveals these things unto us. He is the spokesman, okay? And Yeshua reveals these things unto him. We're the ones also who Yahweh is showing there. The message was given to Yeshua, but Yeshua, through vision, that's the power he's got, taught this to Yochanan as we taught it to Daniel. This is the sea of glass. The sea where you see, where you actually see the prophecies that are taking place. Now remember, this is for believers only, right? It's for believers only. Turn over to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. Because all that Yahweh has given unto us is for us. It's for us. What a great blessing that is. He's known us from the beginning. And he's never given up on us. In Revelation 22. Now, Yochanan, of course, he didn't really fully understand what was taking place at the time when he saw these things come to pass. In Revelation 22, we'll look at verse 16. Revelation 22, verse 16. He says, I, Yahshua, have sent my Moloch to testify to you these things in the congregations of the house of Yahweh. Okay? In the house. So this Moloch, this messenger, he gets his information, or his inspiration from Yahshua, and then it was delivered to Yochanan, who wrote it for the last day's house of Yahweh for us today, so that we could read this as we're reading it today and have the understanding that we have. Now, Yochanan, he didn't understand really at first who he was actually speaking to when this was revealed to him. So turn the page back up to verses 8 and 9. Verses 8 and 9. And notice he says, and I, Yochanan, saw these things, and I heard them. Okay? And when I heard and had seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the Moloch who showed me these things. Okay? Because he thought, oh, you know, and he bowed down before him. And notice, verse 9 is the key. And he said to me, see that you do not do that. Why? For I am your fellow servant. In other words, I'm a human being too, Yochanan. I am a son of man as you are. And notice, I am your fellow servant and of your brothers, the prophets. I'm the one who was prophesied of to foretell these things to come. And those who keep the sayings of this book worship Yahweh. So he was telling him, you know, he was revealing that this is a Moloch. And this was not a heavenly being. This was not an angel, but a certain man. A certain man. Okay, and which this verse proves without a doubt, because he says, I am your fellow servant of your brothers, the prophets. I'm a human being. And this is the astounding part, is the fact that Yahweh he's always used mankind. He's always used man to teach mankind. This is all part of his plan. And if anybody says anything differently or thinks anything differently, then they don't understand the plan of Yahweh. Because Yahweh's word doesn't contradict itself. And Yahweh is very clear in the way he presents these things. Notice, again, he says, I am your fellow servant of your brothers, the prophets. Well, where was he prophesied of? Well, actually, it was in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. Okay, but we're going to jump over to Moshe's writings. And so go to Deuteronomy 18 if you want to follow along. 18, verse 18, actually. Deuteronomy 18, verse 18. Well, let me put this up. This is actually just a small corrections in it. But notice it says, and I will raise up for them a prophet. Now, remember what we just read in Revelations, that he says, I am of your brothers, the prophets. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. This is exactly what he was told Yochanan, the same thing. So it shows this person will be a human being, not an angel, not a spirit being, but of mankind, the son of man, the son of man. That should ring into your head every time you hear a pastor speak about that. And I will put my words in his mouth at Abel. So now he gives us a location, but of course that's a prophecy hint, you know, but it's only for the believers to understand, because the wicked will never understand, as Daniel said. And he will tell them everything I command you. Notice, he will tell them everything I command him. All the things that Yahshua reveals unto Pastor Israel Hawkins, reveals these things unto us. And it's amazing. I mean, the mind that this man has, and the way that Yahweh inspires. I mean, when he says something, it's just like you just stand in awe because of the fact that, you know, the understanding that he has through this inspiration, it's just amazing. You know, now, this man, this prophet, okay, that Moshe was speaking about here, in Messiah's time, you know, the people knew of this prophet. They knew of this prophet known as the prophet, but it's distinct from Messiah. And if you look that up, you can find that information. You can see that in Yochanan, where some people called him the prophet and some people said, no, this is the Messiah and so forth. But, you know, even in Matthew 23, when it says, Yahshua said, you won't see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh, right? So Yeshua wasn't speaking about himself, but he was speaking about someone else who was to come, who he knew, prophecy said, would establish the house of Yahweh so that he could be the high priest over the house of Yahweh, right? Turn over to Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49, this is on page 561. Isaiah 49. And so this he that Yeshua spoke about is none other than the man named the branch, who he was actually told to behold, remember. He was told to behold him. In Isaiah 49, look at verse 3. Isaiah 49, verse 3. And notice he says, he said to me, you are my servant, O Israel, through whom, now remember, this is the same terms, same wording that he told Yochanan in writing the book of Revelation. Through whom, you are my servant, O Israel, through whom I, now that's Yahweh speaking, I will be glorified. Okay? I will be glorified. Now notice, when Yahweh wrote this, inspired it to be written, he doesn't refer to Israel, he's not referring only to the last days. Okay? He's saying that when Israel would be born, or when Israel would be born, he would glorify Yahweh or anything like that. But he's simply saying that Yahweh would use him as his servant, which includes all of the sea of glass visions where he appeared to people and taught people. This is how Yahweh's name was glorified, through man. You know, and even verse 6 of Isaiah 49, verse 6, talks about how salvation comes through Israel, okay, through this man. Now, salvation means deliverance. It means welfare. It means salvation. It means health. And you can even think of wealth, because through tithes and offerings and stuff, right? But the thing is that you can have no welfare by worshiping the gods. You have no deliverance, certainly, by worshiping the gods. You have no salvation through the gods. They can't offer salvation. And you definitely have no health through the worship of the gods, right? And face it, you know, the bottom line is that in these last days, we're meant to suffer. And we're going to suffer, because that shows the glory of Yahweh, okay, through suffering. And is it hard? Yes. It's hard having pain 24 hours a day and stuff, you know, but the thing is, we can do it. Because Yahweh says in Psalm, remember, don't ever forget, this is what keeps us going all the time, is Psalm 119, verse 71. It says, it is beneficial that we suffer so that we can be learning what Yahweh's statutes are. It's beneficial that we are afflicted. Because, you know, face it, you got to put your trust in Yahweh. You can't put your trust in the gods and the hospitals and the doctors and so forth. The great men of the earth, as Revelation calls them, because the gods can't save you. Only one man can. And his name is Israel Hawkins. So remember that. That's a fact. That's a fact from Yahweh. So it should be clear why the house of Yahweh, why you know, the man named the branch, Israel Hawkins, is so highly respected and esteemed and honored by the members of the house of Yahweh, because we are his spiritual seed. Okay, look at here. Let's look into Daniel here. Daniel 8, this is just some of the places where this is written, okay? Daniel 8, verse 16. Man of Yahweh, make this man understand the vision. The vision belongs to the time of the end. So it shows you when this man would be there. Daniel 9, verse 21 to 22. The man of Yahweh, whom I had seen in the vision, this is Daniel speaking, at the beginning informed me and talked with me. Notice, informed, that means he spoke to him, he talked to him. And he talked with me. And then another place you see in Daniel 10, verse 5, I lifted up my eyes and behold a certain man clothed in linen. Okay? Certain man clothed in linen. Now, in those instances, you see where it says man of Yahweh. Okay? But in the King James Version, it has the name Gabriel. Gabriel. Okay? But of course, correctly translated, Gabriel means man of Yahweh. Okay, man of Yahweh. Keep that in mind. Now, turn over to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Man of Yahweh. That's on page 780, Luke chapter 1. Now, Zechariah, the father of Yochanan the Immerser, okay, was spoken to in a sea of glass vision. And that's what we're going to look at here. In Luke chapter 1, verse 19. Luke chapter 1, verse 19. He says, but the Malach answering said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of Yahweh, and have been sent to speak to you and to show you the glad tidings. You notice the name of that messenger? Gabriel. Okay, now you might want to put a line around it, a circle it or something, put off on a side note, man of Yahweh, because the one sent, okay, the man of Yahweh, because this is the same man of Yahweh that spoke to Daniel. And we know that because he actually names him. The scripture gives him the name right there. It's the same one who spoke to Yochanan as well. See, and this man of Yahweh that Daniel, Zechariah, and Yochanan spoke to was our overseer. Okay? He was in this sea of glass vision. Now, let's look over to Isaiah. I don't know what this would be. In Isaiah 44, I want to show you. It's a very familiar scripture. But in Isaiah 44, verse 5, it says, one will say, I belong to Yahweh, and the same will call himself with the name of Jacob. The other, there's one and the other, will subscribe with his hand and write, I belong to Yahweh. And surname himself with the name of Israel. So he identifies who one of these two witnesses is. Okay? The name of Israel. Now, when you see that the man of Yahweh, okay, actually carries the same meanings as the words, I belong to Yahweh. So you see here in Isaiah 44, verse 5, I belong to Yahweh. Because in Merriam-Webster's dictionary, okay, the word of is used as a function word to indicate belonging or a possessive relationship. So this man of Yahweh belongs to Yahweh, okay? So it's one and the same person, as you see there. It's the same being, the same person is being spoken about to fulfill the plan of Yahweh from the very beginning. You know, and turn over to Yochanan 20. Yochanan 20, it's on page 838, I believe. You know, Yochanan, Yahweh can see everything and that has, he's ever foretold, you know, he shows us things here a little and there a little as time goes on. And when we put, as Pastor said, when you put all these things together, it's like a big motion picture going on in your mind. But if you look here at Yochanan 20, look at verse 11 and 12, Yochanan 20, verse 11 and 12, okay? Yochanan 20, verse 11. Now Miriam, now this is the time, we're going to jump back into the time of Yeshua's resurrection. And they all ran out there to look at his tomb. However, verse 11, however, Miriam remained outside of the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down to look into the sepulcher. In verse 12, and saw two Malachim in white, one sitting at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Yeshua had lain. Notice this, two Malachim, two messengers, one and the other, okay? And these are who? You guessed it. Yahweh's two witnesses, okay? Israel and Jacob. The two means two in the word Malachim. The word Malachim is Greek number 32. It means messenger, pastor, or one sent. Again, there's another clue that shows you there, but it mentions these two messengers. Now, the book of Matthew says one Moloch was speaking, okay? But if you know anything about the prophecies of the two witnesses, you know that there's only one spokesman of the two witnesses. So that was that one spokesman that was speaking that Matthew, the book of Matthew actually speaks about. But notice here, one was at the head of Yahshua, which symbolized the fact that he accepted Yahshua as his head. The other one was at the feet of Yahshua, showing that he walks closely with Yahshua in the footsteps of Yahshua. And of course, remember Zechariah chapter 6, verses 11 through 12, talks about how they work together, how closely they work together. So these are the two messengers or the two witnesses of Yahweh. Let's see, and there's a lot of this. I mean, you see this over and over and over again throughout the scriptures. In Exodus, this is going back in Moshe's writing here. In Exodus 25, you see here where he says, and make two cherubim out of hammered gold at the two ends of the mercy seat. You shall make them. Make one cherubim on one end and the second cherubim on the other. So you see, you have one and the other. You shall make the cherubim up to two ends of it, of one piece with the mercy seat. And the cherubim shall stretch out their wings above, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and they shall face one another, each facing down the cover. Okay? Now, you see that exactly right here in front of me, with the ark that is here. Okay? This is what it represented, okay? You have the two witnesses. You have them there witnessing of Yahweh. Remember, everything that, as it says in, I believe it's in Corinthians, right, where it says, everything that was written down for us. All these examples, everything that's written in the book of Yahweh, all these examples were written there for us. So in the last days, we would have this understanding to be able to speak about these things and to understand the whole plan of Yahweh, because no one before us has understood these things. It's only us. And then notice, the cherubims are facing down, they're bowing their heads, they've got their hands raised with the tallit there, and they're covering the mercy seat. And there's a lot that you can get into that, but I won't get into that. Even the word ark itself means to gather, together and so forth. But, you know, the message of the kingdom has always been the same. Repent, or else you will suffer the curses. You will see these curses coming. Let's go to... Well, hold your place in, turn over to Romans chapter 9. Hold your place in Romans chapter 9. One hand there. That's on page 880, I believe. And then turn over, flip over to Genesis 19. Genesis 19. So Romans 9 and Genesis 19. Because I want to show you something here as well. You can compare the scriptures and you can see that this is talking about the very same thing. In Genesis 19, we'll start there. In Genesis 19... Okay. In Genesis 19, if you want to write it down, we're going to cover verse 1, verse 13, and then verse 24. Okay. In Genesis 19, verse 1, it says, now the two Malachim, that's Jacob and Israel, they came to Sodom in the evening. Now you got to remember, okay, what we started off with in the beginning. This is all written on the sea of glass. Okay, these sea of glass visions, as Pastor said, you'll see them throughout the scriptures, and you can't help but marvel at Yahweh for the fact that he allowed these things to take place and these teachings to take place. And everything that's written in the book of Yahweh was written for us in these last days because we're the ones he's talking about. In Genesis 19, okay, now the two Malachim came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. He worshiped him. He gave honor and glory to Yahweh. I'll jump down to verse 13. Now, here's what they said. It says, "For we will destroy this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of Yahweh, and Yahweh has sent us to destroy it." Well, no, Yahweh didn't send them to destroy anything. They brought destruction upon themselves. Remember, with Sodom and Gomorrah, their sins reached up into the heavens. And when it reached up into the heavens, it caused the elements to melt with fervent heat, just the same exact way as a warning that we have in these last days is going to take place. And because of that, Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. It's because of their lifestyles. Now, turn over to page, verse 24. Now, it says, "And Yadam rained down on Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire by means of the same Yahweh from heaven." But the way that we corrected that was, "And it came to pass that Sodom and Gomorrah caused brimstone and fire to rain down upon themselves, as Yahweh had brought forth as a warning." It's a warning. And the world is being warned in these last days. Now turn over to Romans 9. The world is being warned in these last days the same exact way. We're going to read verse 27 to 29. It's being warned in the same exact way today. The same message is being brought forth by the witness. In Romans 9, verse 27, Isaiah also cries out concerning Israel. "Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant will be elected." Only a remnant will be elected. Now, that's only speaking about the last days house of Yahweh. There is no other remnant. The remnant is the house of Yahweh in these last days. Now notice verse 28. "For he will finish the work, yet cut it short in righteousness, because Yahweh will make a short work upon the earth." Just like the prophet Daniel spoke about. Okay? There's only one time period he's talking about. The time of the end. The last time in this last 3.5 years where time is cut short. This same warning is going out to the world today. And that's why he says in verse 29, "And as Isaiah said before, unless Yahweh of Shabbat, host and armies, had left us a seed," that's the seed of Israel Hawkins, that's us, the house of Yahweh in these last days, "unless he had left us that remnant, we would have become like Sodom. We would have become Sodomites, like the rest of the world. And we would have been made like Gomorrah," because their own lifestyle is what has brought their own destruction. And that's exactly what we see coming to pass today. The destruction of this world by the sins that they're doing. And it's reaching up into the heavens. Now, the same message was also presented by Israel Hawkins in his book, A Global Warming. You know, pastors still preaching the same message of salvation to all the earth. Let me get with this. In the 16th book of Israel, chapter 42, verse 10, he says, "The marvelous thing is that he had the sea of glass there before the earth began. And this is what he based his plan on." Now, we read this before, but really let it sink in. In the beginning was this plan already. This sea of glass that it was on actually has all these things shown on it. And this particular group who Yahweh shows is Yeshua, our Messiah and High Priest, myself, Israel Hawkins, and us, the house of Yahweh. We're on that sea of glass. Now, look at this. The 18th book of Israel, chapter 20, verse 65. "The workers whom Yahweh sends in a vision," sea of glass vision, or in reality, because now that we're born, "we're the ones Yahweh had planned from the beginning. From the beginning you were planned. He knew you before you were born. He knew you were going to be born. He used your image to teach Adam and Eve. Remember, Genesis 1:26, we're being made into the image and likeness of Yahweh. He says, I know you were wondering before who taught Adam and Eve. Well, who taught Abel? Who inspired Abel? All of these things, he says, I give to certain ones. The last will be first to receive. The last are on Yahweh's sea of glass all the time. He was using you before you were born. That is your makeup. Yahweh's prophets could actually see you, the work that you're doing, and the service. Is that beautiful or what? He knew us. The prophets saw us. You know, we are Yahweh's people, you know. We're a special treasure, much more special than we could ever imagine, and, you know, and even know of with Yahweh. First Kefa 1 talks about how it says that, remember like Yeshua also told his disciples, he says, man, the prophets would have longed to see and to understand and to hear the things that you know of because they didn't understand these things. Daniel cried to understand these things. And then it also says about the Malachim, how the Malachim longed to look into these things and to understand these things. But they're waiting. The whole creation is waiting for the sons and daughters to be revealed. So by now, hopefully you understand more what's meant by the first will be last and the last will be first, and how Yahweh began to work with us long before we were ever born. And he used our image on the sea of glass to do these things from the beginning of mankind. But now that we're born, of course, we have to prove ourselves through the test and the trials. That's what's proven us in order to make ourselves worthy before Yahweh. But we're doing it, brother. We're doing it. We are doing it. Yahweh sees you in the parking lot right now, you know. He knows. He knows exactly. He knew this day that you would be doing this, you know. He knew how special this feast would be, that we would be here. But we would not give up. We would stand strong and firm and do what Yahweh says to do. Oh, this is beautiful, brethren. This is beautiful. Here in Acts. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 through 11. Now, this is the time when Yeshua was getting ready to go up into the heavens, as the Kahan before me just spoke about in Acts chapter 1. He's getting ready to go up to his right hand of Yahweh. Verse 8, this is the corrected version. At Abel, you will receive authority once the word of Yahweh has come to you. For Yahweh's two priests who teach peace and all who reverence Yahweh, all who keep Yahweh's laws will bear witness to the utmost ends of the earth. And that includes us, brother. That includes our works. That includes the things that we're doing. They see it. We're bearing witness that Yahweh is true. Yahweh is real. That Israel Hawkins is his witness because we are his credentials. We are the proof that he is the witness. And when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up. That's Yeshua. He was taken up in a cloud, received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, they finally understood that two men, clothed in white apparel, would stand up for them. Remember, Yahweh's work is based upon that foundation that they built. In verse 11, and who also said, you men, why stand gazing up into heaven? It will come to pass, notice, it will come to pass that the same Yahshua who is taken up from you into heaven will return to the one named Israel as you saw him go into heaven. Is that beautiful or not? That's such beautiful words. Such a wonderful, wonderful promise. You know, Yahshua is coming for his Malach. He's coming for the man of Yahweh. He's coming for Israel. But remember, Israel means those who rule as Yahweh. So if we can learn what Yahweh was trying to show all of mankind throughout all the various visions on the sea of glass that goes all the way back to Genesis, if we can learn how he was portraying us And if we can be that way, he's coming for us too. He's coming for his servant Israel, and he's coming for us too. Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services over to the next speaker.